Welcome to Intuitive Astrology with Molly McCord. Thank you so much for joining me today, as we're going to take a look at three more client case studies where I will share with you more about specifics in an astrology chart, as I was in discussion with this client, with this person, around their current experience, what was showing up for them in their world, and what they were also learning about themselves. The astrology chart is a wonderful way to understand more of who you are and how you're growing, how you are here to be expanding, developing, and consciously working with your own energies. And I hope that these examples bring alive some of these energies, also humanize them, and ideally make them more relatable for you and what you are perhaps moving through or learning as well. So I'll be sharing with you three case studies, and they each have their own unique themes, of course, but I believe these are also universal in some capacity, that you can apply this to your life or to your own experiences. Keep in mind that these are, of course, anecdotal stories, and they're based on this specific person's experiences and their own chart. Every astrology chart is different. The energies show up differently. So, of course, this would pertain more to this individual than to anyone else, but I hope that there's some good information here that you can benefit from and that you can also use or apply in your own journey. So these are conversations that I had with clients a number of years ago when I was doing personal readings. I no longer do individual sessions, although I do appreciate your requests to work with me. Thank you so much. I just don't have time or availability right now. It isn't something that is a current priority with many other things that are happening in my business. But these I thought would be wonderful examples of what to take notice of, as well as good teaching examples of how alive astrology can become. So we're going to talk about three case studies here. One is going to be about a man understanding his leadership style more. The second will be about a female moving into her feminine energy more. And the third is also a female understanding how to work with her highly sensitive energies. The other very important thing about these case studies is that the information came alive through conversation with each person. We can't make assumptions about energies or about people solely based on their astrology chart. There's many other factors that come into play, including their level of consciousness, what they are interested in, how they learn, how they want to understand themselves more, and many other factors. So an astrology chart comes alive when you're understanding more about how the energies are showing up, what your choices are, and where you are naturally drawn to understand yourself, because it's so different for everybody. So these charts really came alive as I was in conversation with each of these people. So let's begin with a man who was interested in understanding his leadership style. Now, he is in his mid-40s and in the military. So in his career, he is in the military with his country of origin, and he has been in the military for most of his career. And I have to do a quick disclaimer that I don't know military terms, so please forgive me in advance if I get any of the terminology incorrect. But my understanding was that he had been promoted to a higher command post after serving for many years, if not decades. And with his country of origin, he was placed in an area on the map that was very volatile and chaotic. And it required him to step into a higher leadership role in an area that was very uncertain. And he was in charge of literally hundreds of troops. So he really wanted to understand his leadership style better, how he could show up and do his job with responsibility, with an understanding of his role, but also an understanding of who he is as a leader. So in his astrology chart, what we look for leadership energies can show up in any number of combinations. It's literally unlimited ways that leadership styles emerge, but some of the main energies that are prominent in leadership include the astrological signs of Aries, Leo, Capricorn, Also, strong placement of Sun, Mars, Saturn, and also strong energies of first house, fifth house, and 10th house. Now, this is not the only way that leadership energies show up. Again, many combinations, but there's things that we look for that show that someone is naturally a leader or they naturally want to be in charge. They naturally want to take initiative, be in control, take command. So in this individual's chart, a lot of these energies came alive. His sun is in Pisces, conjunct Mercury in Pisces in the fifth house. Now, Pisces is not typically one that wants to be in charge, as Pisces can be the energy of wanting to be in another reality, wanting escapism, wanting a break, very imaginative, very creative. So it was interesting to see that his sun and Mercury were in Pisces, although they were in the fifth house, which is where it's developing courage, developing and really owning that ability to be strong in self. So what emerged in his chart, however, were really fascinating connections about his leadership style. So yes, Sun and Mercury were in Pisces, but his moon is in Virgo in the 11th house. Moon in Virgo is the organizer who wants efficiency, wants routine, takes responsibility, wants things to be simple and clear. And in the 11th house of a bigger organization, of a bigger system, he was actually normally gifted with being able to organize people, with being able to relate and connect with many people. And in fact, that felt emotionally satisfying for him. So that moon in Virgo was a strong signature of wanting to be a part of something bigger than himself, wanting to contribute, wanting to be of service. The other thing that was strong in his chart was Saturn in Leo in the 10th house. Now, the 10th house is prominence, public title, responsibility, your profession. With Saturn there, there was an energy of really taking it seriously, taking his work seriously, his responsibility seriously. In Leo, that also was the development of his leadership style, how he was here to show up, how he is here to be in control, to be in command, and the ongoing life development of those skills. Saturn can also relate to your karmic history. And so in past lives and other incarnations, he's been developing his leadership style through these Leo energies of being alone in his work, meaning developing the capacity to do things on his own terms. He also had the strength within him to do things on his own and to take charge, to move it forward. His rising sign is Scorpio. Scorpio is the energy of power, charisma, magnetism. It's a very strong energy. It exudes in the aura a strong sense of self, and even a strong sense of being a force to be reckoned with. So this individual had strength in his chart. He had the ability to be a leader and to ultimately understand how his being of service, his ability to organize and to show up and to work with many individuals was how he was able to continue to grow through the military structure. Now, on a personal level, he realized he was in this interesting position where his troops really enjoyed his style of talking, of speaking, and of leadership. They resonated with him. And keep in mind, he was in charge of hundreds of people. However, it was those who were older than him that he felt a disconnect from. In other words, his superiors, his commanding officers, were the ones that they didn't always understand his leadership style. There was a disconnect here. And it could be through the old guard and the new guard, so to speak. It could be through a difference in generational experiences and what it meant to be a leader. He had observations about that. And he found that he was walking this middle ground where his superiors had certain expectations. And of course, he needed to follow their rules and to be very aware of the expectations they had on him. But his troops really identified with how he led, which was very different than this older generation. So he was stuck in between. He felt like he was in between these different needs and these different expectations of himself. He also felt the pressure of wanting to be the best possible leader for these troops in this important area on the planet. And we talked about how he could do that. So one of his gifts with this Sun, Mercury, and Pisces conjunction is that he's actually very intuitive, and he has had different experiences in his life that have demonstrated that. And so in a chart, we really want to emphasize what comes naturally to someone, who you are, what you're about, what your gifts are. And this Pisces energy was gifting him with trusting himself and his intuition. And so we talked about how there could be times when he really is in a position to trust what he needs to say and to allow it to be inspirational, to allow his role to lift up those that he's working with in a way that inspires them, that reminds them of their purpose, why they're here, the importance of their job, how it can be hard to show up every day, to be far from home, to be separated from your loved ones, that this is a mental game, and that one of his strengths was in the mental and emotional capacity to support other people. That even if he didn't have all the answers and he was on the spot at times as their leader, he could trust himself to say what he needed to say and to really speak from the heart, which is part of the placement of planets in the fifth house. And so he was able to essentially give various types of pep talk and understandings that what we're doing right now is very important. It matters. It can be hard at times, you know, to validate how people are feeling when that's appropriate, when that's the correct environment to do so. But that part of his leadership style was to really understand that he didn't have to dehumanize himself, meaning he could be very much alive with what he was feeling and sensing and allow that to be communicated and to allow others to feel that. We also talked about how his Saturn energy is going to require him to be alone at times in various leadership roles. And that when you become a leader, when you move up into higher places of responsibility, when more people look up to you, there are separations that occur. And those separations are that you're no longer part of the pack. You're no longer a part of what everybody's doing. So if 10 people are going out to dinner and you're not invited, it's because you're now seen as a leader. Their perceptions of you have changed. So you have to be aware of that realistically and adjust your expectations accordingly. These types of separations are part of strong Saturn and Capricorn lessons, where you are being asked to be in your own energy, to be strong in yourself, to go it alone, and to stay mature, to stay in that part of you that understands you have a different role to fulfill. So we talked about separation from the group, where he was no longer one of the troops he was looked up to, and he had to understand that the perceptions of him had shifted. We also talked about how now it was really important for him to find new mentors, that he needed new people to talk about his experiences with. Obviously, he can't go to his troops and he couldn't go to his commanding officers. He needed to find other individuals who were perhaps parallel in their career journey or who had been in a similar role, and that if he could go to those individuals as a safe place to discuss problems, to discuss what he's experiencing, that's going to emotionally support him and alleviate any of that intense pressure or confusion that he might feel at times. When you have Mercury conjunct the Sun, there's a very strong mental energy. There's a need to communicate, to speak, to process, to get things out of the head. And you don't want that to get backed up, especially when you're under a lot of pressure, especially when you have a lot on your plate and you're feeling a lot of responsibility. So we talked about the importance of going to, again, mentors, elders, colleagues, others that he could take issues to, and that he would have essentially allies, people in his corner where he could talk these things through, because this new leadership role required a lot from him, a lot that can't be discussed or revealed, a lot that it wouldn't be appropriate to even let others know about. And that can be challenging for the moon in Aquarius. that wants the camaraderie, that wants the connections, that really wants to connect with many people. He had to shift how he communicated or how he related to people just to honor himself, honor his place, and honor what was being required of him in this new role. His Pisces energy also felt good supporting and helping others. It was just naturally part of him to give, to do what he could to be of service, to show up, and to even make his own needs smaller or, in fact, restrict them at times. One thing that he was needing to balance was that work-life experience where he could be doing so much for others that it could drain him, that it could work him to exhaustion. And so part of his responsibility to himself is to look at his own energy and to check in and make sure that he is getting downtime. He is having days off, that he is reconnecting with his family and what is important to him, that he doesn't have to do everything for everyone, and that part of what he is getting clearer on are what those boundaries look like. And they do shift and change throughout life, and of course throughout different roles that an individual has, but to be really clear around his boundaries so that he's not doing for everyone to the point of sacrificing himself. And this is true for all water signs, or if there's strong water energy in a chart, where the leadership style could be that it's never ending, that there's always something else you should be doing, that you want to be supportive, or that you want to participate in. And it's important to monitor that, because think of how water can just keep flowing. It can just keep moving. But you need to have a safe container where the energy can sit, rest, and take a break. And then getting back to being in a mid-level career position where his troops really resonated with him and his style, but his commanding officers had a very different perspective and approach to leadership. One thing that we did talk about is how he is a leader to his troops, but he's not a leader to his commanding officers, meaning, yes, they see him in a leadership role, but his job is not to be a leader with the commanding officers. So he has to develop and maintain two styles of interactions that pertain to the people he's interacting with. So with his troops, he's a leader. He's in charge. There's things he needs to provide, direction he needs to give, things that need to be clear, things that are priorities. But when he's interacting with his commanding officers, he's viewed differently, and that it's okay to shift back and forth between those parts of yourself. And that was actually one of the gifts of his Pisces and Virgo energies. The mutable signs are able to adapt, meaning know your audience, know who you're talking to, be wise about that. The things you would say to your troops, you know, you would probably handle it very differently when you're in a sit-down conversation with your superiors. So make adjustments as needed. Be wise about what you are engaging with and how you present information. Make sure that your commanding officers understand the results you're bringing in and what you're performing and what you're doing that is correct in terms of their expectations. But, you know, just know that it's a strength to be adaptable, and it's also a strength to know how to communicate differently depending on the audience or whomever you're speaking to. And he has really good public speaking skills. And that's one of the ways he comes across as well. That's why he is a strong leader and why he appears that way to others. So this is, of course, just one example, but he did have a successful tour at this location on the planet. And he does have a long-term career in leadership, and that style will adjust. It will grow. It will continue to evolve throughout his career. But he is energetically designed to be able to handle groups of people, to be responsible, to be in charge, and to be strong in himself. So he is developing the courage to go it alone while trusting himself and to be adaptable. All of these were strong qualities in his astrology chart. So now let's move on to our second case study about a professional woman who was learning how to move into her feminine energy in all areas of her life. She was higher up in the ranks of her company. She had been a very successful professional woman for a few decades, and she was here to not only understand how to be strong in herself, but knowing when it was also appropriate to be more feminine. So when we first got on the phone call, she of course took charge, and she was, yes, very confident, but she came across too strongly. And she came across in a way that was quite dominating and was also a big turnoff, at least for me. Her rising sign is Leo, very strong Leo in her chart, which is why she is good at being in control and demanding the limelight. She also had a strong sun in Scorpio and a moon in Capricorn. So this was someone who was able to really be a great organizer, to be operating in structures and in a way that would help things move along, move ahead. Her sun in Scorpio was conjunct Mars in Scorpio, which is also why she came across very strongly. Whenever Mars is conjunct the sun, it's very much a doer, it's action, it can be very assertive, but it can also be aggressive. It can be too much, too fast. And that's how she felt to me when we got on the phone. She was very determined to also be the supreme organizer and commander, which has certainly served her well in her career. She works in a financial industry where she really had to work twice as hard as men to prove herself. And I'm sure many of you can relate to this. She had to overcompensate. She had to work longer hours. She had to do more. And as I started to learn more about her, this became very natural to her. Of course, that Mars conjunct the sun wants to go, wants action, is really good at moving things forward and being busy. The Mars energy is wanting movement. So on a daily basis, she's a dynamo. She truly is. And yet her north node was in Cancer. Her south node was in Capricorn. It was not conjunct the moon, but that moon in Capricorn and the south node in Capricorn, it was very natural for her to be in these Capricorn energies of getting things done, being productive, being the one who takes the responsibility. So as our conversation progressed, she shared more about what she does. And she, like I said, she came across very strongly, but it was too much. And when I'm talking with someone, I have to make it clear that I'm not your friend. And I mean that in a nice way, but I'm reading the chart. And so the information in the chart might not be what you want to hear, but it could be for your benefit. It could be something you didn't see. It's a blind spot. And the way to make that information digestible to someone varies depending on their communication style. And her Mercury was also in Scorpio. So I told her that I can totally see who she is, that she is powerful, she is strong. There are parts of her that had to fight for survival, that her astrology chart suggests that her childhood was very tumultuous and difficult, and that she learned survival skills at a young age in order to get through, that there are energies here that she probably isn't even aware of how she comes across. And so there were times in our conversation when she would talk over me, and she would again try to bring the conversation back to whatever she wanted me to know about her. So in these situations, I'm then forced to also be very strong and clear and to basically offer a choice. Do you want to hear about this astrology information, or are you more interested in just talking? And she said, well, Molly, I wouldn't reach out to you if I didn't want to know about my astrology chart. And I said, okay, then I'm going to need you to listen to me. And I need you to know that how you come across is very forceful and it actually is turning me off. I'm not comfortable in this conversation with you because I feel like you're trying to dominate. It doesn't feel good. And I wonder if this is also how you come across with others in the boardroom. Now, this is not a judgment. I understand that there are places and environments where this can be very well received in terms of you're making a point, you have to fight for something, you have to demonstrate something. However, this is not the case in this conversation. I'm on your side. This is something where I want to help you, but I feel like you're trying too much to be assertive and aggressive, and it really isn't the best way for this conversation to unfold. So if we want to move ahead, what we can do is really focus on what's in your chart here, how it can benefit you, how it can support you, but do you mind stepping back a little bit? Because I feel like you're in a controlling mode that's really too much. And she went dead silent. And she said, oh my God, I'm my mother. And then we talked about her mother. And we talked about her childhood and how she never felt like she was good enough at anything until she found math. And she was naturally good at numbers, at equations, at calculations, and she loved it. It became this driving passion, which all Scorpio energies need. And so it really gave her something to focus on that felt good, where she felt her confidence grow. She excelled at math. She started learning about finances. She went into investment, and this is throughout her education. And she really was good at it. And it also became her safe harbor, meaning her mind and even her emotional self could go into this place that she felt strong and she performed well. Now that Leo rising wants to perform well, wants to appear strong, wants to receive recognition for who she is. But she realized that the only area of her life where she got that was through learning numbers, math, and working with financials. So this explained why she became such a dynamo in her career. But at the same time, she had left behind parts of herself because ultimately it wasn't safe to be who she is. So in our conversation, I shared with her that her North Node in Cancer is where she as a soul chose in this lifetime that it's okay to soften, it's okay to feel, that it's about developing and generating her own safe place so that she can go somewhere outside of the rigors of her career, outside of the demands of the other employees, of her superiors, of her bosses, where she could go somewhere and decompress, let it flow, and also step away from where she was being too hard on herself. So it was looking at how can you soften. And she had no idea what that meant. So we talked about what that means is that it's okay to not be in control in all areas of your life. Yes, in your career, there's things you've had to do that you probably enjoyed. That Mars conjunct the Sun enjoys a challenge, wants to be better, wants to excel, enjoys the thrill of it all, and even wants to be in survival mode. Like there's parts of you that really are good at that. So don't think that that has to change because that's not who you are. But what you want to tap into is basically dialing it down, having a place after hours where you don't have to be in that full throttle mode. And there could also be something that you're unaware of about how you come across that's combative and domineering, controlling. It's all a little too much. Not to say that you have to change it. I'm just telling you how I'm feeling and my perspective on it. And it might be interesting to observe yourself. And one thing you could do here is give yourself an experiment. If you're aware of how you're operating with others, with your peers and your colleagues, what would it be like to soften that down a bit? What would it be like to maybe talk softer or to take deeper breaths? What would it be like to feel like your energy doesn't have to be turned up to 11? What if you visualize turning it down to 6? Now, her Venus is in Libra, which is a beautiful placement, but that Venus in Libra was overly controlled and dominated by her strong Scorpio energies. So we talked about that Venus in Libra placement, which is about being objective, about being graceful and gracious. It removes the emotional charge. It's the balance. It's the ability also to receive. And it turned out that her sister was also a Libra. And so we talked about, well, what about observing your sister? What about observing more of these Libra traits that you're in contact with through your relationship with her and practicing them for yourself? Because part of what you are here to develop is that you can absolutely be strong in yourself. That's who you are. However, what you're learning in this lifetime through that North Node in Cancer is how to take care of your heart and how to trust your feelings, how to be able to be vulnerable in a way that will actually open you up to better, healthier relationships with other people. So then we talked about vulnerability, which that moon in Capricorn wants nothing to do with. And the South Node in Capricorn thinks is just a foreign, scary, weird concept because she saw it as weakening. And she talked about how vulnerability just appeared weak to her. And I suggested that there's ways to reframe that. There's books to read, such as the writings by Brené Brown and other authors, that it could actually be very fascinating to think of this as an experiment where if she were to soften a bit more and to not need to be so strong in everything, that it's actually going to not only balance her energetically, but it's also going to improve all of her relationships across the board. So her assignment was to dig into this vulnerability part of herself, how to take baby steps with it. And of course, it's not appropriate in the workplace to be overly vulnerable, but this is something to do for herself. How to be vulnerable with herself was the first step, to recognize the parts of her that maybe she had pushed away because her childhood didn't allow these parts of herself to exist. It was like those parts of her were essentially killed. They died. They just weren't given any air or water or any signs of life to live. And so now here she was in her mid-50s and she could feed those parts of herself in a whole new way. And then the second part of her assignment was to focus on that Venus in Libra energy and to think of it as a boardroom table with, yes, she has her strong Mars, strong Sun, and strong Mercury sitting at the table, but to allow those energies to be quiet so Venus and Libra can speak. And the more that she gives focus to those Libra energies, that she can communicate, she can be aware of what is going on, she can assess things objectively, that it's going to support her in a really lovely way. And the intention of all of this was helping her balance herself, move into more of her feminine energies, to dial down how she was coming across. Because I said the other thing about Mars conjunct the Sun is that you could be unaware of how much conflict you instigate. You know, you could really set people off and turn them off in ways that you had no idea about because you weren't clear on how you were coming across. So the more that you can be aware of that, you might notice patterns in yourself that could be very eye-opening and perhaps something to sit with and to think about because that Mars is strong and is going to fight for you, but you don't have to fight for everything. You don't have to fight to be seen. You don't have to fight to be recognized. You don't have to fight to be loved. And that could be a pattern that you're unaware of, but you have support in your chart to work with that and to be aware of how you can simply receive without always having to do everything or think that there's something you have to do in order to make it happen. And in fact, part of her strong Scorpio energy is about trusting other people. and that's a strong part of Scorpio energies in general, is that you can be very suspicious of others. You can assume betrayal. You can assume lies. But that energy all starts with yourself. So that was another deep dive assignment for her, is to look at her relationship to self-trust and the energies that she's putting out that maybe originate within her that she just wasn't aware of. So needless to say, that was an intense session. But again, it's part of at least what I believe is my role to provide information and to be a benefit, is to be very clear on what the astrology chart is about and how someone can benefit from it, even if it's information that they were not expecting. And then our third and final case study here is about a woman in her mid to late 20s who had dominant number of planets in Pisces in the 12th house. She had 5 planets in Pisces and an Aries rising sign, and she was highly sensitive. And so my first question to her was, how are you moving through your world? How do you get through life? Like, what are you doing on a daily basis? And basically, she is creative, very intuitive, very artistic, but had resorted to regular habits of escapism through drugs, through alcohol, basically through anything that would alleviate her highly sensitive nature, because she felt too much. She literally felt so much emotion and so much energy all around her that it overloaded her system. And that's why she turned to anything that would help her numb those energies. Her coping mechanisms were unhealthy and she was scared. She was scared because she honestly didn't know how she was going to survive in this world. So we focused on the importance of developing tools for being a highly sensitive person. Now, there are books called The Highly Sensitive Person. There are many books now on this topic, and I strongly recommend that you read them, that you check them out, that you understand that millions of people are highly sensitive, and that it can actually be such a beautiful thing, but you just have to know how to navigate the energies and honor yourself, which is admittedly a lifelong journey. So in her world, she had all these energies in Pisces that really overwhelmed her at times. She had 2 planets in Capricorn, and what she was able to do on a daily basis was write fantasy novels, which is perfect for her Pisces expression. So the sun and moon, Mercury, Venus, and an asteroid were in Pisces. I'm forgetting now which asteroid it was. But she was very much all about being in other worlds. And in the 12th house, that's who she is natally. That's also karmic energies. What is being completed in this lifetime for her to understand and master? Also, how she could feel at times that she doesn't fit in, she's a misfit, she doesn't know where to go, that she just feels so out of place. And we talked about how part of her soul journey in this lifetime was to work with these big energies, was to work with her high sensitivities in a way that worked for her. And so we talked about different ways to do energy clearings and chakra work, that when she goes out into the world, she should activate a strong auric bubble so that she feels energetically protected, so that she's not picking up on every single energy or every single thought. We talked about how she could develop her psychic abilities in a way that works for her, where this can just be a hobby. You know, everyone has psychic or intuitive capabilities, but it's how you use them and to what extent. And because hers were so extreme, she had a lot of visions and she had a lot of things that came throughout her life. And she remembered even as a child that would overwhelm her. So we talked about how she needed to be very clear around emotional boundaries and that there might be things she needs to do every day. So emotional boundaries, energy boundaries, intuitive boundaries. That could be as simple as you need time to yourself, a lot of time to yourself every day, meaning you should be in a workspace that's all your own. There should be times throughout the day where you're able to consciously check in with yourself and clear out energies if it's not yours, because she became a sponge for everyone's energies. And it was hard for her to know what was hers and what was not hers. So that was another thing for her to be aware of, is to think, is this my feeling? Or is this something that I'm feeling from the conversation I just had with my friend Sandra yesterday? So part of her responsibility to herself was to be aware of what's hers and what's not hers. And the other theme we discussed was that being highly sensitive meant that even when she was desiring alcohol or drugs or something in her body, that her body was probably going to respond to it in a highly sensitive manner. And so what could she do if she wanted? It's all free choice, but what could she do to make some other choices that wouldn't affect her in such a heavy way, but would instead enhance her? And I gave some examples of other celebrities who have highly sensitive and empathetic energies, because it's good to know that you're not alone, but that there's other ways to run the energy, to move it through. So for example, Johnny Cash also had the Sun and Mercury in Pisces in the 12th house. And he had a lot of water in his chart. He also had Mars in Pisces. So he was also very sensitive and intuitive. It depends at what level of consciousness he was aware of this and how he worked with this, but he streamed it through music. He ran the energy through a creative outlet where he could create and channel anything that came through. It's good to know more about people who have charts similar to yours, because it can give you understandings of how to work with the energy and how to honor it in a healthy way. Now, yes, Johnny Cash had addictions and there are other parts of his life that maybe weren't as healthy, but this is a way to see that, you know, music, anything creative, anything artistic is what you need. It's who you are. It's part of what you're here to experience. And how can you do that in a way that benefits you and is healthy for you while you also deal with these highly sensitive energies that can be overwhelming? Another individual who was highly sensitive was the late singer George Michael. He had his Sun in Cancer in the 12th house, also Cancer rising, and he was very much a sensitive being, probably more so than people even realized. He also had strong water in his chart, and he felt a lot. Now, granted, he had strong Leo and strong Gemini energies that helped balance him, but anytime there is planets in the 12th house, those are the things that people don't see. Those are energies that people aren't aware of. They're hidden. They could be hidden from yourself as well. So part of her choice was to look at where she would be able to honor her strong emotional experience in a way that was also creative, artistic, beautiful, and generated self-love and self-compassion. We talked about how all of this is a wonderful premise for her fantasy novels. And what if the protagonist is really her? And what would that be like? What would that experience be? So these were things for her to play with and to see what came alive for her. Granted, this was in her, like I said, mid to late 20s. She didn't have her Saturn return yet. So the Saturn return is always a point of maturation where we have life choices to be made. We have an opportunity to understand more of who we are, what we want to do in the world, and where we're going. And I suggested to her that over the next few years before her Saturn return, she could put into place some new habits that would be healthier for her energy, where she maybe didn't resort to other addictions or other forms of self-abuse simply because she didn't know how to work with her own energy. That anything she could do right now to work with her highly sensitive nature, her highly intuitive abilities, her ability to feel a lot of emotion, that her assignment was to generate tools and a higher understanding, as well as self-ownership. Meaning, if you are a highly sensitive person, own it. Just own it. This is who I am. This is how I navigate my life. This is how I move through the world. This is what my experiences are. This is me. Own it in a way that will fortify you. You don't have to fight against yourself. You don't have to change anything. It's managing it. It's managing it responsibly. It's having the tools in place for greater self-awareness. When you are feeling the heaviness or the intensity of the world, time out. You know, like you could even set up your own work schedule where you know that there are at least 3 days of the week where you can do no work. You need no commitments. That Pisces energy is going to feel way too heavy if you're trying to do too much in a structured fashion. Take a break. You need 3 days off. Your energy needs downtime every day. You can practice meditation. You can do something that is good for your mind to alleviate pressure and do something for yourself that moves the emotional energy through you. But one of the most empowering and self-loving things you can do right now is to own it. This is who I am. I chose to have an experience in this lifetime where I pick up on a lot of energies. I feel a lot of emotions, and this is my journey. And this is what I chose. This is who I am. And I love who I am. I love that this is what I'm about. So a very intense conversation. I don't know what her choices were. You know, she's a Pisces, so she disappeared. And I don't know what she decided. But I hope that some of this information landed well in her psyche. I hope it reminded her of her power, of her choices, of her light. And I hope it also gave her practical tools to work with. Because when you have more energy to work with, you need more tools and you need more ways to navigate the challenges of the real world. You need to do it in a way that honors yourself. And that takes time to figure out, but it can absolutely be worthwhile. So I hope these three examples have been beneficial to you. Of course, I've kept the privacy of the individual safe, and I love and appreciate their willingness to have their case studies shared. Please know that, again, there are many parts of astrology that depend on the individual. There's things that are very particular to each person, but the more that you learn about yourself and the more that you learn about your own chart, the more these energies come alive. I do have an astrology course about the astrology of relationships, and this course can be really beneficial in understanding how you relate to other people, how your energy comes across, how you experience them, how they experience you. Because when we share energies with others, we can be unaware of what that really is. So these three case studies were about how we share energies with others, and I thought that it would be not only helpful to hear these case studies, but then to understand that you can understand more about your astrology chart when you look at it through the lens of relationships. I'll put that link below if you want to check out that course or that program, but know that astrology is a wonderful tool. It's a lifelong tool. I've been studying my own chart for over 30 years. I still see something new. I still see something different, which is why it's fascinating on an ongoing basis. But know that it is something that we continue to investigate and to understand as we continue to grow and evolve. Thank you so much for joining me, friends. I hope you enjoyed this special bonus podcast episode. I will do some more for you like this because I know that you are enjoying them. So I'll have another episode on this same case study topic in the future. You can check out more about me at mollymccord.online. And I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. On YouTube, you'll find a playlist of various topics, including ones about astrology chart clients. Thank you for joining me. I will see you back here soon, and I hope you have a beautiful day ahead.